I got the bloodlust.
Me too.
I want to kill. Let's kill.
Hi, listeners. Welcome to The Bloodlust. It's your go-to podcast for classy broads and a token dude talking horror. My name is Big Amy. I am your fearless leader.
Casually. Just drop that in there.
Just dropping it in. This is episode 99 of The Bloodlust. Tonight, I am joined by Big Jamie in the room with me.
Big J.
Big J, I'm hello. Here.
Howdy.
Big Eddie.
Howdy.
In Ohio, in his wood panel basement.
I'm a hootie tootie disco cutie.
That's right. And finally, but not least, Big Kitty. Wow.
Nice.
If you're in the know, listeners, you might have guessed what we're reviewing tonight. Surprise! We're doing The Greasy Strangler. We had a little snafu with our Ghost Stories screener, and we're only able to view it. I think I'm the only one that got to view it before it expired, or we had too many.
No, you were the only responsible one of the group. That's safe to say.
You know, what are you going to do? This is my jam.
You're going to switch and go with Plan B, Greasy.
And we're going to switch at 4 p.m. today and go with, or whatever time it was. And we decided to do the Greasy Strangler.
Thank God.
The Greasy Strangler.
Cue grease noise.
Cue grease noise, which I will find. Sizzling bacon.
Yeah.
There you go.
What was that supposed to
say? I think that sounded sizzling.
It was sizzling
bacon. Very quiet.
I see. Oh, that was the sizzle.
Does it sound quite the same? Hearing it like this, it sounds like you're dragging something across
the
floor.
It does. It sounds like you're dragging something across gravel.
Mm-hmm.
But that's okay. Through the magic of the internet, I'll produce some sizzling.
Yes.
The Greasy Strangler, guys. That's what we decided because a few years ago, if you are fans of our website and you read the articles therein, I had it in my best of 2016 list because I really liked it. And I've been trying to force this on these guys for a long time. Eddie was the only taker because he cares about me. And he watched it and he loved it. And then he and I together have been trying to push it on Big Kitty and Big Jamie for months now. And this was the straw.
This was it.
Yeah. In times of desperation, the Greasy Strangler was here for us, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight.
And it was obviously the right time.
I guess so. I guess it was. So I guess you sort of can infer from that what Eddie and I thought of the Greasy Strangler. But what did Big Jamie and Big Kitty think? That'll be the mystery for you for this episode. But before we start talking about the Greasy Strangler, let's talk about our roundtable question. Which, in keeping with the movie for the evening, is what is the weirdest movie that you've ever seen? Let's start with you, Jamie, since you're right across from me.
Ah, yes. Proximity wins.
Yep.
Well, if I were to answer truthfully, now this movie is going to be the weirdest movie I've ever seen. But that's kind of a cheat answer. So I'm going to say Napoleon Dynamite. Is the last time I remember, like, watching a movie that I was enjoying and being like, I don't know what's going on. Like, what? I don't understand what the end game here is. What's the story we're telling?
What are you guys doing? What's happening?
Is there a deeper meaning that I am very much missing? Does Tina have something to do with this story? More so than just being a family pet? No. I mean, the answer is no, and that's part of the delightful.
And you like that movie?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
It's very quotable, much like this. So there's just something about that weirdness. You just fall in and accept it, and then it's a happy delight at the end.
I think it sort of is similar to this, too, in that I think these both exist in worlds that are not, like, here. You know,
right.
Everybody in it. In both of them, in Greasy Strangler and in Napoleon Dynamite, is weird in their own way.
Yeah, it's like a strange caricature of...
I guess,
something,
yeah.
Or just a weird character that...
It's like an alternate reality where everybody is incredibly strange.
Yep.
In their own special way.
That is true.
Well, thanks, Jamie.
You're welcome.
Big Jamie. Amy. I'm sorry.
Big Amy.
I'm working on it. Big Kitty. Are you there?
Well, this is definitely the weirdest movie I've ever seen.
Is it?
Yeah, and I don't like weird movies.
No. Oh.
So I try to shy away from them. But I guess besides this, The Lure was pretty weird.
Oh, yeah, that was really weird, wasn't it?
It was fun, but it was weird.
I love The Lure.
Yeah.
If you listeners were not listening back then, we reviewed The Lure. It's a Polish.
Isn't it also called the Mermaid or something?
Did The Lure have a million titles? Yeah. No, that was Killer Mermaid that had a million titles, I think.
Yeah, it was Killer Mermaid.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's Eddie's favorite movie of all time.
It's one of them.
That's the one that I'm thinking of, and I loved that movie.
Oh, no, The Lure is the musical.
The Polish one, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I liked that, too.
We're all sad in musical. Orlando.
She is sad, and I am sad, and we are
sad.
Yeah,
I liked that one, too.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, that's pretty weird. There is no, there's some good music in this, but there is no singing, really. Well, there's a little singing. It's sort of more of a chant.
It's definitely more of a chant.
That's a chant.
There's a lot of dancing.
Yes.
So we got that going for us.
The best kind of dancing. It involves mainly the hips and the groin area.
Yeah.
And a lot of thrusting.
The groinal area is definitely displayed. Heavily.
Loud and proud.
Heavily in this movie. All right, Kitty, that's a very strange movie indeed. Thank you. And Big Eddie, last but not least.
Yes.
You like weird shit, don't you?
I sure do.
Me too. What do you think's the weirdest shit you've seen?
Tim and Eric's $1 billion movie.
Yeah.
That is just, it's so horrible from beginning to end. John C. Reilly is Taquito, the sick child, the sick man child that lives in the mall. Oh, it's so good.
It's funny to think about John C. Reilly, you know, who has been in award-winning prestige movies,
doing these
Tim and Eric things. It's so funny to me. And he does such a great job at it.
Oh, he crushes it. You believe Taquito's realness.
You feel for Taquito.
Oh.
I feel like a Taquito. Sounds good.
Preach.
Yeah. How would you say that this compares to something like
this is very similar to Tim and Eric in the casting. It's that Craigslist casting. They hire everyone that shows up, and the weirder the better. You don't have to be able to speak well. You don't have to be able to act. You just have to look, have a certain aesthetic in your head.
It's true.
One of my notes compares it to Tim and Eric.
Yeah.
It's like the one guy's like Eric Wareheim. Sorry. Brayden.
Big Brayden.
Wareheim. Yeah.
Yeah, he really does a lot.
Yeah.
Do you guys think that Tim and Eric feel the same way about their characters as the guy who made this feels about his characters? Do you know what I'm trying to ask? Are they laughing at them, or do you think they're laughing with them?
I think it's with them. I think they're both.
I do
with
too.
Them.
Tim and Eric as well. Sometimes I feel like Tim and Eric is a little more mean spirited than this one is, but maybe not. You guys have watched more of it than me.
No, I think those people are happy to be there. They're like, I got a job doing acting. Hooray!
Hooray!
These are all very weird movies, guys.
Mm-hmm.
I think for me, possibly House or Hausu. You know, the Japanese, the Obayashi movie from 77. You guys haven't seen it?
No.
Oh my God. It's weird as shit. You got to watch that sometime. It's based on the director's daughter. He had his, like, I don't know, she was a kid, 5 years old or something, come up with the story.
Excellent.
And basically made a crazy horror movie about these girls from boarding school that go to stay with one of the aunts who is a witch. And it's too hard to even, there's disembodied floating heads that come out of a well, and there's a piano that tries to eat somebody, and it's as crazy as a movie that was made up by a 4 or 5 year old could possibly be. And he just takes all of the ridiculous things that his daughter came up with and he just films it and makes it. And
I like there's that.
Great special effects and it's ridiculous and it's wonderful and it's super weird. There's another one. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Shaw Brothers. They made a lot of Hong Kong action and horror movies in the 70s and 80s. Real good ones, classics. And my favorite that they made is The Boxer's Omen, which was from 83. And that is a, they had a whole series of Hong Kong black magic movies.
Oh,
and,
interesting.
Yeah, and The Boxer's Omen is the best of them. It's really weird. There's all kinds of crazy black magic rituals that involve like guts, eating guts and transforming animals into crazy monsters. And it's incredibly surreal and it's really, really fun and it wonderful. Fun. It's sort of got a, sort of like a Fulci kind of vibe where it's got like tons of, or Herschel Gordon Lewis, like tons and tons of gore,
okay.
Lots of entrails, lots of blood. But then it's also got really weird, surreal monsters and set pieces and stuff.
Mm.
Those two are great and weird. And if you like weird shit, you'd like them.
They made me think of that wonderful, weird movie we watched at Eddie's house.
Oh, Journey to the West.
Yeah.
It was a lot like that, but very heavily.
Journey to the West was great.
Bloody.
Okay. I'm in.
And then there was another one. I couldn't decide between these three. So
okay.
Lastly.
It's fair.
Before we go to break. Fantastic Planet. Anybody seen that one?
Nope.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cartoon. It's a French cartoon about aliens.
Mm-hmm.
It's really strange. An alien planet. It's really surreal. It's really strange. You might have seen glimpses of it in The Cell. Jennifer Lopez's character is watching it. And smoked a joint in one of the scenes. And I was always pleased to see it. It's a really cool movie. So those three, House, The Boxer's Omen, and Fantastic Planet, are probably the weirdest things I've ever seen.
Those seem like very good answers. I have not heard of any of them.
Well, weird is like my favorite type of movie. Even more than scary is weird. I love weird. I love weird in all things, in all ways.
Yeah. I mean, weird is... can kind of describe a lot of things. This is a very particular brand of weird.
Yeah,
and I don't even know how to like, this is just like throws all sort of weird, like not to say weird a million times, like strange, subtle things to make you very uncomfortable. And then also some very not so subtle things.
New, yeah.
Very in your face.
Oh, right in your face.
Some big things and tiny things.
Yes. Yeah, the weird movies I chose are not at all like this one.
Yeah.
I guess similar things to this, besides Napoleon Dynamite, would be something like
Tim and Eric's Billion Dollar
Movie. I was just going to say, like...
Tim and Eric, yeah.
I was going to say Crybaby, I remember, was when I watched that for the first
time.
Oh,
yeah.
What the hell
I forgot
am I
about
watching?
Crybaby.
Yeah, that is very... It is very Crybaby.
Yeah.
In a weird way.
I was not into that.
No?
No, I'm
oh my
not
God,
a John
I love
Waters
it.
Fan.
Oh, John Waters. I love him so much. But John Waters has the witty dialogue, you know? Where this does not have witty dialogue, it's
no.
Even the dialogue, like
bullshit
I feel
artist.
Like
they said that I wanted to keep count. It had to be at least 100 times.
Not
it had
enough
to be at
times.
Least a million.
1 trillion times.
Mm-hmm. I think with John Waters movies, though, his characters exist in the real world. They're weirdos that live in amongst regular people. Where this is like everybody is nuts.
Yeah. That's true.
Yes.
But
everybody
John Waters,
wore hot pants.
Yeah.
Their
outfits. All right, let's take a quick break.
Let's get to it.
We got to start talking about this. We will be right back, and we are going to talk about the Greasy Strangler some more.
And s'mores.
And s'mores.
Every hour, a podcast is hurt by lack of reviews. They suffer alone, terrified, unreviewed, waiting for help, waiting for you to help. Please say you'll be the answer to this problem. For about 1 minute of your time, you can provide joy, peace of mind, in the knowledge that others will hear this show. This is your chance to not sit by while the Bloodlust suffers unreviewed. So go to iTunes, Stitcher, now, and make a difference for 5 sad, unreviewed horror fans. We're counting on you. Thank you.
Okay, guys, we're back. Let's start talking about The Greasy Strangler. Kitty, give us all the pertinent info, would you? Big Kitty?
I sure can. The Greasy Strangler debuted at Sundance Film Festival January 22nd of 2016, and it was released October 7th of the same year. It is directed by Jim Haskin, written by Jim Haskin and Toby Harford. Stars Michael St. Michaels, Sky Elabar, and Elizabeth Durazzo. It is unrated. I think it would probably be R, if I had a guess.
I don't think they allow you to show that much peen.
It's a lot of dong.
Prosthetic,
it's all fake peen.
Yeah, but there's so much of it, I don't even know.
Guar was able to walk around on stage in public with giant 3-foot fake wieners.
But if they filmed it, what would they have rated it?
Maybe NC-17.
It's unrated, so.
It's unrated. No rating. Has a running time of 1 hour and 33 minutes. It has a 63% on Rotten Tomatoes.
How do you feel about that rating, Kitty?
It's far too high.
I'm going to ask Kitty what she thinks about it first. But before I do, let's talk a little bit about what it's about. The two main characters in this movie are, it's really a father and son movie about a relationship between a father and son.
Yeah.
Let's describe it as straight as we can.
Yes.
There's Big Ronnie and his son Big Braden, and they live in Los Angeles, and they give disco walking tours, which seem very spurious. Seems like Big Ronnie might do a lot of bullshitting himself.
Well, yes.
He's quite a bullshit artist. They also really, really love greasy food. Big Ronnie especially. Big Braden tries to tamper it a little bit, says, you know, it's bad for our health, Dad. No, it's not.
You'll die.
Dad's not having it. In fact, Big Ronnie only lets Big Braden live there so that he can cook for him and make his food nice and greasy. But they've got a nice setup. Things are pretty good between the two of them for a while, until this alluring woman appears at one of their disco tours, and Big Braden is smitten with her, and they embark upon a relationship together. But Big Ronnie, being a pretty controlling and psychopathic dude, is not pleased about it, and he is vying then for her affection. But meanwhile, there's also a series of murders, which, of course, you know, this is a horror comedy in a very loose sense of the word. But there has to be a killer, a strangler. And while all of this is going on, there is a grease-covered killer stalking the city, murdering people that they personally know.
Yeah.
So draw your own conclusions from that without letting you in on all of the details. But there's a good chance Big Ronnie knows more than he's letting on. So there's your setup. This movie was produced by Elijah Wood. As he, what's his production company? Is it Spectroscope or something?
It's, yeah, something like that.
Oscilloscope Labs? It doesn't matter. Elijah Wood and Ben Wheatley of Killist and Sightseers.
Oh, Wheatley.
Yeah. They produced this, and it is the first feature of Jim Hosking. He is a British guy, surprisingly. This does not seem like a very British movie.
Mm-mm. Not at all.
The only other thing that we would know him from is that he made G is for Granddad in the second ABCs of Death movie. Which was one, if you will recall, about a granddad and his grandson and how his granddad is hiding in the bed with him and then eventually kills him. It's a weird one. Suitably
Go
weird.
Figure.
Yeah. And kind of similar to this, really. If you went through and watched every ABCs of Death, I think having seen this, you would be able to pick out which one was his.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Kitty, tell me what you thought.
I hated it. I really hated it. The dialogue is terrible. They say the same five things over and over and over again.
Bullshit.
And it's not even funny. Like, bullshit artist. No, fuck you. Come up with something different.
Bullshit artist.
Oh my god. And then what's his face? Oh, Big Brayden says he likes to shout, I like to smile. That is the creepiest sentence I've ever heard in my life.
He's really skeevy and creepy, isn't he?
It's, yes. And those female 80s glasses, holy shit.
I thought he looked like the Mrs. Doubtfire mask of Mrs. Doubtfire after it kind of gets flattened on the road.
Oh my god, that's great.
Oh god. And at one point, him and Janet were wearing the same lipstick color. Yeah. It's just, I don't know. I don't like it. And I don't know. It made me want to throw up, so I guess it has that going for it. At least three times that I can name. But really? Janet's little, yeah, oh yeah, the grapefruit, the greasy grapefruit.
Yeah.
He was like massaging.
Yeah, that was a rough scene.
It
was,
with it perfect was a little, technique.
Uh-huh, yeah. Not dissimilar to the Call Me By Your Name scene with the peach.
Right, right. For some reason, that one didn't make me throw up as much. That one just made me kind of laugh.
Big Ronnie did it first.
Big Ronnie did it first. That's true. I just want to point that out.
Well, I mean, unless it's in the book, because it is a book. Call Me By Your Name is a book. Anyways, good let me point. Say book one more time. There was the nose scene with Oinker, or whatever his name was. That one was probably the closest to throwing up. And then really? When Janet ate the grease.
So the poking in the nose, nose hole. Yeah.
I was watching this with my buddy Ian, and when that happened, he made a really terrible sound sitting next to me.
Yes, I did too.
We just went,
oh. It sounds like an engine starting up or something.
It was half a groan and like a woo boy all together. Like, it really pleased me.
Oh, I did enjoy seeing the doctor from Grandma's Boy. He was one of the first tourists. He's like the guy that gets super baked and tries to tame the lion or whatever.
Yeah.
No. Grandma's Boy.
Brings in the monkey.
Yeah. So that was fun to see him. But Janet's wig was distracting. That little orphan Annie wig.
I don't think
Annie
I even
wig.
Noticed she had a wig.
Are you joking?
Do you mean her pube wig?
I mean both.
I mean her pube wig.
Her merkin?
Her merkin was clearly a merkin, but I didn't even notice, and I'm so good at spotting wigs. Damn.
Oh, she was in Eastbound and Down. Like, right. I know what she looks like normally, and that's not her hair. It was like, it no, it was like a fake. Clown wig almost.
It was askew in one scene.
Was yeah. it?
Uh-huh. It was a Raggedy Ann wig.
Yeah.
This movie just made me uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Basically from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It helps that the peens were prosthetics, but not that much.
They were still disgusting, both of them.
Yeah, oh.
It's like a big mouse
point,
head.
It was just like half bloody. Ugh. No, it was real weird.
It was they were two of the most unattractive penises I've ever seen.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Not that penises are super attractive as it is,
I mean,
but
some
Jesus
of them
Christ.
Are fine, you know?
Right. You just want it to be normal.
For genitals, you know?
I mean, if you're going to be showing it all the time.
Right. Right. You'd want to have something to talk about.
Yeah. Oh, you've got something to talk about.
Big Ronnie will give you something to talk about.
Yeah.
Give the old town something to talk about.
Are there any spoilers? There's no spoilers, right, in this movie? It doesn't
sure
matter,
there
does
is.
It?
There's one, I would think.
Well, I'm not going to talk about the end.
Yeah.
But that Janet went for Big Ronnie after having Brayden's micropene.
That
of
ain't
course
no spoiler.
She did.
No, I mean, anybody who looks at Big Ronnie would be able to predict that.
He's a smoothie.
That. Yeah, he's a smoothie.
I thought that would happen after the grapefruit scene. Because she seemed a little into that.
She was way into it, but you weren't giving Janet enough credit, clearly.
Right. That was really just fleshing out Janet's character.
Yeah, it just took five more minutes.
Yeah. It's called character development, Kitty.
It took the line, you want to come in and do something sensual to get to it.
I'm gonna rub grease on your tummy.
I'm pretty sure I tried that on my wife after I watched it. Hey, baby.
You want to come in and try something sensual?
Let's try something sensual tonight.
A little something different. Oh, God. I liked that they had them. I did like their matching disco walk outfits. Like, you could buy that at, like, JCPenney right now, probably.
Yeah, or a Dress Barn or something.
Yeah.
I loved it. Who wants to wear a thick turtleneck with hot pants?
Were those hot pants knitted?
Yeah.
I think they were.
They looked like they were knitted from the same
thing. Yeah, it was like a matched set.
God, that's great.
Why would you want a turtleneck, something that's very hot, with short shorts, something that allows you to be very cool?
They wore very strange clothing.
Yeah, they
were. I mean, at one point, he goes to... Big Brandon goes to take off his shirt when he's with Janet, and he unzips it in the back, and it's a turtleneck. I was not expecting there to be any unzipping involved with that.
Yeah, what a lady.
It was such a lady's shirt.
From the ladies' section of, like...
Dress Barn?
Montgomery
Ward. Yeah, or Penny's.
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
Oh, there's a blast from the past.
Monty Ward's. So, Kitty, I'm sorry that you didn't like it. It's definitely not for everybody.
Yeah, I'm pleased thinking about you sitting there hating it for an hour.
And the only other thing I have is his disco outfit. I don't think that's historically accurate. I don't think that people went to the disco with their dongs hanging out.
No, but in this weird reality.
They did.
They might.
Anyways.
Or maybe just Big Ronnie might. I imagine you would not recommend this to folks.
No. I mean, it is on Amazon Prime, though, if anybody wants to watch it.
Yeah, it's
streaming. It was free.
It's important to mention.
So, if you feel like it, go ahead. But no.
But no, you would not recommend it to anybody.
No.
And what do you think you'd rate this?
A D? I don't know.
For dong.
Dingus.
Yeah. It's a D for
disco,
dong.
Clearly.
For disco, yeah.
Disco dong.
And for the space duck, also.
A space duck. Oh, my. I love it. Thank you, Kitty. Sorry we put you through that, but...
It's good for her.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
What doesn't kill you?
You've come through it, much like Big Ronnie has come through the car wash. You've come through it.
Screaming the whole time.
And you're changed now.
Yeah.
Mm, yes. I'm
baptized
not cleaner, though.
No, certainly not. No.
Mm-mm. No.
Mm-mm.
Never that.
All right, Jamie, you too watched this today for the first time.
I did.
Though you had kind of a different reaction to it.
I did. I had a much different reaction. I thought this was hilarious. And I'm sad that I put it off for so long, but I'm also kind of not. Because I think after a while it was just fun to be like, no, I'm not watching it. But... I can't think of another word, but it was weird. So I'm not going to try and think of one. Weird. This movie, I think it was probably 30 minutes in, and I'm like, I'm really not grasping yet where this story is going, but I am on board. I loved all the music that was in it, all the sounds, everything was great.
It's a good score, right?
Yeah, I loved their costumes and just, like, each character, they all were... So, like, delightful or gross or strange or, you know, just charming in their own special ways. Even the tour people.
Yeah.
The tourists, they were great. The little hot dog cart guy.
Potato.
Yeah. That part, I loved. I was laughing so hard. It's like, how long are they going to go with this? Let's keep it going. And he was getting so frustrated. I mean, it was a very, like Napoleon Dynamite, a very quotable movie. I just kept listing all the funny things, like we kept saying, like, okay, so now I'm shit scared, Janet. Like, there's just endless number of quotes from this. It is strange. It is acted really well. So for this main guy, Big Ronnie, to be Michael St. Michaels, who's apparently, like, hairstylist to the stars.
Yeah, he was.
Extraordinaire in the 70s. I mean...
So this, he says. Who knows?
Yeah, so he says. Whatever. He looks like he easily could be.
Yeah. Like IRL we're talking. Not in the movie.
Yeah.
Although IRL. He does mention John Travolta in the movie. He was apparently John Travolta's hairstylist in the 70s.
Doesn't Big Braden say something like, wow, John Travolta talking about Big Braden? Can you imagine? Or something like, oh, God, it is a special thing if John Travolta's talking about you.
Right.
I mean, it was just, you don't know who any of these actors are for the most part, and they did so well at this and played it so deadpan, even though it was so ridiculous. Like, everything about it. The story was so silly.
So silly.
But it was just so funny. I had such a good time.
It's the interesting thing about this is that it's really well made.
Yeah.
It's super well made for a weird ass movie. You expect somebody filming on their camcorder or something for the way that it is, but the set design, the way that the shots are set up, the editing, everything is done very well.
And you gotta feel like more of it means something than what you initially think. Like, it's very purposeful. Like, it's in there for a reason, but you just don't really know. And you can't really tell. But then it doesn't really matter because it all works in whatever way it's supposed to. It was a funny time, man. I mean, I'm with Kitty. Like, there were some parts that were gross, but it was a great kind of grossed out. And then I read that one of the scenes, like when they have him covered in the grease stuff, that they use like dried up or like real thick tapioca pudding. That made me a little woozy.
That's pretty gross.
Not gonna lie, tapioca pudding was pretty nasty.
Worse than grease?
It's just the the texture.
Sure.
I don't know. It's all not pleasant. Anyway. I don't know.
It's those little balls.
And the whole point that it's a greasy strangler, that is such an ineffective way to strangle someone. You cannot even get a good grip. So why is this? And what is it that makes you the greasy strangler? It's because you're eating so much grease and then you're getting all angry. And
then he coats himself
in it. And then you're really all of it is so, you just got to stop trying to like think of why anything is the way it is and just enjoy the craziness of it.
Yeah.
And it is so crazy. Like, Big Braden made me laugh probably the most. Just because his whole look was hilarious to me. That he looked so much like an older woman. And he had, like, an older woman's body and shape. And
a middle-aged lady who goes to dress
prom. Yeah, that's exactly what it looked like.
Yeah.
Oh.
And his TJ Maxx special ribbed turtlenecks.
He should have a handbag somewhere, you know, like a larger leather one. With pictures in it of his cats.
Yeah. Or his nieces and nephews.
And a thing of mace.
And a rape whistle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, really, even Janet was great. She said hilarious things. I mean, it was just...
What did she say? What did she say to him when he came on to her? Do you remember?
Did she say, like... Well, one point she says, like, oh, you cornball... She calls him a cornball. And then there's another point where she says... Ooh, tell this girl more.
Tell this girl more.
And I really loved that part. Oh, that was like when they're going out to dinner, yeah. And he tells her, did you know these breadsticks are called something? He gives the name and she's like, wow. And then how he leans down slightly to take a little nibble of one as he's telling a story. It's all so uncomfortable and strange, but it's so funny. Oh, God. It's just delightful. I highly recommend this.
I'm so glad you do.
I don't know. I mean, it's a hard time. Like, I literally can't say I could recommend this to everybody.
You'd really have to know for sure.
I mean, I can't recommend this. No one could recommend this to everybody.
Certainly not. This is 100% not for everyone.
This is a real hard sell. But I would say if you find movies like Napoleon Dynamite funny, or movies where... it's just in a strange sort of world and you don't really know what's going on, but you don't really need to know, and that the dialogue is not very natural and what you would expect to hear from people. So if you're okay with feeling all those types of discomfort and awkwardness, then this is the movie for you.
And if you also can handle disgusting things.
Yeah, and gross things.
Yeah, you have to be okay with gross. There's not any blood. There's just a lot
of... minimal.
Yeah, I mean...
there's some blood.
Some eyeballs get popped out.
Yeah, and
but then they get fried up and eaten.
Not always.
That part was gross.
Very cartoonish gore.
Yeah, so it's easy to take.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, it's the greasy stuff that'll get you.
Yeah. Definitely more gross than gory. But yeah, if you're okay with greasy, I mean, they put it right out there in the title.
Some fart jokes, some poop jokes.
Yeah. A lot of penis.
When Big Ronnie tells Big Braden he's got something to tell him and rolls back with the legs over his head and rips one. That's so good.
Oh, God.
So, Jamie, what do you think that you would rate this? It's so hard to rate.
I would rate this an A just because of what the movie that it is and what it tried to do and be. And that it was able to be so batshit weird and successfully, like, make me laugh throughout it. I mean, I would definitely rate it an A.
We got a D and an A here.
Yeah.
So you can tell what kind of movie this is, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Very divisive. Not for everyone.
It's not. Just like Grease is not.
Like greasy the movie?
Things.
Oh, like greasy things.
Oh, and the movie. Grease 2, however, should be for everyone.
I agree.
That movie's great.
Yeah, it's way better. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Big Eddie.
Yes. You know I love this.
Yeah, you love it. I love it. I think we can talk about what we think together, probably.
Yeah. I was the first one out of the group to watch it, and I was so pleased. It's right up my alley. It's so, just so weird and so funny and so gross, but so well done. And I think it's shot in such high definition, but I think it's so key. Even though it's just two dudes with their shirts off in Speedos standing in a shitty, gross room, it's like really key to see how nasty they really are. It just keeps that going in your mind. Old men button gold thongs and.
Yeah, gross, saggy old men with flat butts.
That first scene where you get the, like, outline of huge dong.
When he stands up all upset.
Yeah, he, like, slowly shifts to the left because there's, like, a bottle in front of it or something, and then he moves, and then you see it in its full glory. I'm like, ah, there.
Yep.
Big Ronnie. There he is.
Oh, yeah. The special effects in this are great.
Yeah.
Too. They're really fun and homemade looking. It's all very cartoony.
The eyeball popping scenes reminded me a lot of that other skit from ABCs of Death. Remember, it was a Japanese director.
That's right.
It was like a Japanese story, and someone was getting executed, and they kept like envisioning different ways that like his head was going to pop off or something.
That's right. It that made was me really think good, of that,
and I loved that one
because it's all physical. None of it's computer.
There was a that's lot what of, makes it, like, kind of charming.
Yeah, that is the weird thing about this movie, is that it's charming. Because I think that despite how disgusting it is, you know, it's supposed to be, like, a heartwarming story about this father and son.
Get closer in the end.
It ends with, I'd rather be here with you, son, than, like, anywhere else.
than on a stupid boat with John Travolta.
Yeah.
Or in New Orleans with John Travolta, that was it.
Right. Running a nightclub.
Yep.
I think the thing I laughed the hardest at was Jody, the crime investigator.
Jody! The fake cop that was really Big Ronnie. Fake cop
that is
Big
just
Ronnie.
Big Ronnie, wearing women's sunglasses. Fake dentures, or dentures that have fake braces on them.
Yeah, that just was great.
In 6-inch long yellow plastic fingernails with none on the thumb. Coming in hot, looking great.
It's so good. One of the greatest things about this movie, I think, is the costumes. Mm-hmm. They're fucking amazing. Whoever was the costume designer for this was great. And I'm sure that they had so much fun in thrift stores finding these costumes.
Yeah, even just the costumes that they briefly gave for to the, like, minor characters who were briefly on. Like, the one tourist who kept trying to say potato.
Yeah.
But said the porto. One, that scene, again, killed me. But two, if you see his outfit, it's like a little, like, shiny skirt thing.
Just like a gold shiny wraparound.
Yeah. And then it's so funny as he's backing up and explaining how there's a girl in his room that he met in a sports bar, and he just keeps talking.
But I couldn't get a stiffy.
Yeah.
So I came to get a chips.
So funny.
Potato.
Because I like to lick between the ridges. That's where all the salty chip powder is.
I was thinking while watching this, and this has to be like the highest amount of nudity in a movie with the least amount masturbated to, like of any movie.
Oh yeah,
in the history of horror.
Oh yeah,
it's the least sexy thing I've ever seen.
Yep, oh, that's yep. true.
And the director describes it as a sexy comedy.
I mean, there's a lot of fucking.
There is, and there's a lot of penis, and
the, a real knee knocker.
Yeah, the best is yeah. Big Ronnie's outfit, that crushed velvet oh purple number with the cutout crotch. That was my favorite part, the dance scene with the head of the hot dog. Was it the hot dog vendor's head?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was probably my favorite scene. I love, is it Big Pete? The blind guy at the car wash?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I love all the scenes with Big Ronnie, just visually. The image of Big Ronnie going through the brushes of
yeah, that's hilarious.
The car wash fucking kills flapping. Me. It's so good. It's so funny.
And he comes out and his hair is like perfectly mm-hmm. feathered.
I find it delightful. I feel like, yeah, for what this is, to me it's an A.
Amen, sister.
Yeah, for me it's an A. They did exactly what they meant to do.
Yeah.
And I think this has a long and full life as a midnight movie. I think this is perfect. It, you know, fits right in with all the great midnight movies. And it doesn't have the smart, like the witty kind of satirical stuff that John Waters has. But it's not trying to be that. It's trying to be its own little weird thing. And I think it kicks its ass.
Yeah, sometimes people just want to watch a funny, strange movie.
You know, certain things like Being John Malkovich, like something that Charlie Kaufman would write, you know, or something really fantastical. It's always so amazing to me that people are creative enough to come up with something like that.
Yeah.
Like the idea of Being John Malkovich. Who the fuck came up with? I mean, Charlie Kaufman, obviously, but how do you come up with an idea like that? Like, oh, there's a portal in this office and we can crawl into it and be inside the actor John Malkovich's head for 30 minutes at a time. Who came up with that shit? Like, how does somebody come up with that?
Drugs, Amy. I don't know.
At the risk of outing myself, like, I've never come up with anything yeah. like that. And I've done some drugs, you know?
Oh, I've done some drugs.
In my time. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I totally know what you're saying. Where you watch it and you're like, it's so funny, but how do all these thoughts come together like this?
To me, this is something like that. I mean, it's not, I'm not saying this movie is ingenious and you know, whatever, but it's a crazy story that they came up with. And it's incredibly original in a world where we have a million reboots and adaptations of old TV mm-hmm. shows and books and everything. Where it's like, let's keep recycling different ideas. This is, I've never seen.
The Greasy, nothing.
No.
The Greasy Strangler was pulled out of nothingness.
Yeah.
It was out of the grease.
Out of the greasy beyond.
Like an orc. An orc.
Nerd.
I'll give her a wedgie as soon as we're done. Don't worry.
Please do it now.
Do
I
want to
make
now.
Sure it gets done.
Please do it now. Get to the chopper.
Yeah, I think if you like midnight movies, if you like things that are just unabashedly
bonkers.
Weird,
mm-hmm.
and if you do not mind something disgusting, if you could get down with a trauma movie, or if you like, I don't know, if this isn't like a Holy Mountain type thing. Or anything like that. But midnight movie-wise, like, if you can get down with old John Waters or Troma or, there's not a whole lot else like this.
If you like Tim and Eric.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or Tim and Eric, I say you're gonna love the shit out of this.
Yeah, I'd say if you're watching it and you're not on board in some way, shape, or form within, like, a half hour, you're probably not gonna be. Because the tone of the movie, like, what they're doing does not change.
Yeah.
And like I said, even though I didn't really know what was going on half hour in, like, I was loving what I was watching. I'd already laughed a bunch, so I was like, I'm sold.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, you'll, just like she said, you'll know.
Yep.
Right you'll away. Feel it. If you'll it's like magical. It. And it's it's free right now on Prime, so you should definitely watch it.
What better reason?
I wanted to point out, too, this guy has another movie. It just premiered at Sundance this January, and it's called An Evening with Beverly Loughlin. An Evening with Beverly Loughlin. And Aubrey Plaza's in it, and so is Jemaine Clement, the dude from...
Oh, we like him.
Yeah.
We like Miss Bamford.
And we like Craig Robinson, so they're all... It's a great cast. It doesn't have a release date yet, but it sounds really interesting. And it sounds like Jim Hosking has a lot of fans in Hollywood. A lot of people appreciate him.
I mean, I can see why.
And I, for one, am interested in what this guy does next. Because honestly, like I said, this is a well-made...
This is a crazy way to start.
Yes.
Your film career.
But it is a well-made movie. And, you know, the screenplay is not good in the way that we normally consider something good. And the plot is pretty loose, but
I don't
still.
Think this movie is supposed to be about screen, like, the plot and a good screenplay. It's sort of more just, like, a story about weird characters.
Uh-huh. It's a weird character study. I don't know if you guys read comics, but I mentioned this being cartoony, and I think it also reminds me a little bit of, I don't know if any of you have read Daniel Clowes, the guy who wrote Ghost World.
Mm-mm.
You have? Oh, yay.
A little bit. Not a ton.
It reminds me of some of his characters in some of his weirder comics. There's one called, like, A Velvet Glove Cast in Iron. It's real weird. And every character has some kind of strange quirk. And it reminded me a little bit of a comic. And especially because, like, every scene in the movie is very meticulously, like, Wes Anderson style set up. And the camera doesn't move. It's all very static. And it reminded me a little bit of the way that comic books are storyboarded and set up. And in particular, Daniel Clowes. I think... Why you laugh?
I literally just thought of a random part from the movie. I just started laughing.
Oh, God.
Sorry. That's what happens.
That's what happens.
I didn't get to give my rating.
Oh. I thought you agreed with A.
Yeah.
Yeah, but mine was more elaborate.
I'm sorry.
A plus infinity, the number 8, 6 equal signs, and a capital letter D.
Picture it in your mind.
Picture it in your mind, listeners. It's Big Ronnie.
Big Ronnie. I love it.
There you go. Take it in. Drink it in.
Drink it all in, ladies.
You got one job. Big Ronnie's shooting ropes.
Gross.
We're going to spoil all the best lines.
Oh, yeah, we can't really.
There's only, like, 4.
There are so many.
There's...
Shut up, Kitty.
Big Kitty, do you like oily grapefruit?
No, I don't even like regular grapefruit.
Did I tell you he craps on the bed most nights?
My mom left when I was little because I crapped on her leg all the time in bed. So she yelled at my dad as she left.
She yelled it out of a moving car as she left us. As she drove away.
What was the name of the guy who actually stole the wife?
Ricky Prickles?
Ricky Prickles.
I love all the names of the Ricky people Prickles. In this movie. And that dude with the pig snout. God, that was strange. I love that.
He's genuinely so creepy.
That was creepy. That was dark and creepy. Like, that, I like in your particular, shoes. Reminded me of Dan Clowes.
Oh,
of the weird characters in his,
because that one was stuff. Everyone was sort of just slightly, but like you could easily be like, I'd see that person on the street, right. Like that's just an oddball from town. This guy, it's like, all right, you've gone further with it.
Yeah,
you're wearing a pig's nose. You have a pig's nose.
Yeah.
Well, it's covering up his lack of nose.
Well, I know, but
in his gooey jelly center,
he had little pig ears, didn't he? Wasn't he
did
wearing
he?
Something that had like little ears, or did I just imagine that on him?
I don't know.
Did he not have hooves? Little pig hooves?
I don't know. I'm going to go watch it as soon as we're done.
Let's now I'm just thinking
again.
He's a pig. I know. I might do that too.
Let's That's get matching great. Big Ronnie tattoos.
I'm getting a Big Braden one.
Yes.
I don't want to sit in a chair for that long. I just want a real small tattoo.
I want to be Big Brayden for Halloween so bad.
That would be an amazing costume.
All we have to do is get pink.
You need to be my Big Ronnie because it's an appropriate size difference.
That's true. And I'll just, I can't walk around like that though.
You could with a prosthetic.
I don't think I would be allowed. I think I'd be arrested.
No, I want to go as the in our disco
in the pink disco outfits.
I mean, fine. With I guess the then I could just pack really huge, right?
Yeah.
And just have it poking out of the bottom
it's
of
all about
short shorts.
Implication.
Oh, yeah, you can have
suggestion
it dangling out.
Of.
Have it dangling out the bottom. That's a great idea. Oh, my God.
Uh-huh.
Eddie, write this down.
Take a letter.
I don't need to. I think about it all the time.
All right. Well, don't forget when it comes October again. I don't think we need to spoil this.
I don't really think
I mean, we don't have to talk about the end, really. It was a heartwarming ending.
Yeah.
About family.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Togetherness.
Yeah.
And
love.
Making sacrifices and realizing what's important.
Yeah.
Sharing in hobbies with your family.
Yeah. And Greece.
And Greece.
It was mostly about Greece.
Making my own olive oil. It's extra
virgin. That's the line that I just started laughing about. Which is like, I'm making some olive oil in my bedroom. Extra virgin.
I would like to see St. Michael's in more things.
Yeah. Let's get him and who's the other guy that was in a bunch of stuff but we don't see a lot? Larry Fessenden.
Yes.
Let's get these guys in something.
That would be nice. I'd like that. I'm definitely interested in this other movie.
I want a Nick Cage,
yeah, me too.
Nick Cage and Michael St.
Yes.
Michael's buddy cop thriller.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I am on board for
we
that.
We may have to write
1,000%.
Kitty, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you didn't like it.
Oh, it's fine.
It's been a couple
it's
movies
fun.
In
it's
a row you haven't
fun
liked.
To talk about. Yeah, I mean, I haven't quit yet.
That's good. Do you notice, guys, how she said yet?
I haven't quit yet.
I just want to mention that. Did anyone else notice that, or ask that, did anyone else notice that the hot dog cart was called Doggy Style?
Was it?
Yeah.
No.
I love the hot dog guy.
Was. I know, he was so funny.
He had great hair.
He had a great jacket.
He just cared so much about keeping his license.
Yeah.
I really like his dumping situation.
Man. I know.
Yeah.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
The back of the RV, cracking that big window, being out on the street. Dropping one.
Taking a poo. Come home, I just want to take a poo.
Yeah.
He's a simple man.
It doesn't sound like that bad of a life, really.
Slinging dogs? Mm. Nah.
Mm-hmm. Nah.
Good stuff.
I hope that you guys will watch this. Unless you generally tend to side with Kitty on movies, in which case you should know.
Don't do it.
This is not up your alley.
Trust her in this.
Yeah. So this is not for everybody. Take our review with a grain of salt.
Take our review with a vat of grease.
With a greasy and oily grapefruit.
Ugh.
Yeah. I call my pets Hootie Tootie Disco Cuties now. A lot.
God, that scene also went on for so long.
So long.
Oh my God.
And when he thinks they're like doing it upstairs because it's all loud, but really they're just doing dance moves while chanting "Hootie Tootie Disco."
I love her
cutie.
Little dance too. How she yelled, like, she's so like violent about it.
And they're both so naked,
very naked. Yeah,
yeah. So, I mean, it's so funny.
So, do you guys think that this has got to have more peen in it than our last winner of the peen contest, which was Rare Exports?
Rare Exports.
But
yes.
That had
right?
real peen. This is no, has zero real peen.
Right.
That's true. That's true.
That had 100 legit old man weens.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, as far as, like, variety, that one definitely wins. Because we're only really seeing
two fake ones.
But as far as screen time goes, percentage of the movie, this one's got it beat.
For sure.
Oh, it's at least 50%.
Yeah, so do you think...
Plays a real big part.
Yeah, it's like they should have cast those...
I'll give this any award I can possibly give it. So sure, most peen screen time award goes to Greasy Strangler.
Most peen time.
Yeah. Eddie and Jamie, do you guys think that if you had seen this in 2016, it would be on your list for that year?
Fuck yeah.
I don't remember my list from 2016, but probably.
Okay. I'm happy you guys liked it. And I hope you listeners like it too. Sorry, we didn't get to do Ghost Stories.
I was going to say, if anyone does go and watch this, we desperately want to hear what you think about it.
Please. Even if you just want to, like,
tweet all of the quotes at us, because that's all I'm going to be doing from now on.
If you just want to shout bullshit artists at us.
Yep.
Or I'm shit scared.
Okay, I'm shit scared now, Janet.
I wanted to talk a little bit about Ghost Stories real quick, just because in case you watched it in anticipation, Ghost Stories honestly wasn't that good, to my way of thinking. It set itself up as an anthology, but it was very interconnected, and the frame story became more important than the little segments, and the little segments did not stand on their own. So I wouldn't call it a true anthology, really. And to me, despite having some great casting and recognizable people in it, it didn't become anything other than cheap jump scares and sound effects to scare you.
That's disappointing.
And people in ghost makeup, like, flying at the camera. It ended up being one of those movies, which was really disappointing. Mm. And it also tried to do a little mindfuck kind of twistiness, and it really didn't work at all. Like, it really did. Once you see how it ends up and stuff, the movie itself doesn't even make any sense.
Oh.
So I thought it was kind of a steaming pile, unfortunately. Even Martin Freeman, who, you know, I normally like, I didn't even think he did a good job.
Well, that's too bad.
So, yeah, personally, I don't know how my co-hosts would have felt about it, but I don't recommend Ghost Stories.
It is not playing anywhere.
No, so, well, it's
so there you have
real
it.
Tough to find if that at all intrigued you to go check it out.
It'll
I guess
be,
you'll have to wait a little bit.
It should be coming out very soon. Excuse me. Sorry.
She just but thought about Crazy it for Strangler. About 30 seconds and she's going to go to sleep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I did watch it twice, even, because I wanted to see if I liked it better. Because the reviews are not bad, but yeah, I was very disappointed with Ghost Stories. So I don't recommend it. Go watch Greasy Strangler for free instead. I did see Disobedience yesterday with the inter-Rachel romance. Thank you, Young Jonah, for that one. And it was quite good. And was not as soul-crushingly depressing as I thought it was going to be.
Well, that's good.
Mm-hmm. More Carol than Brokeback Mountain. But nice. I don't want to spoil anything. But I recommend that one, too, if you like a somber drama about religion.
I watched that, what was it called now? Ultimate Heist or something?
It's called Evil Genius, right?
Oh, yeah, Evil Genius. Whatever, it's about some crazy heist.
It's about Brian Wells.
I mean, it's about all sorts of things. I binged that on the plane ride
Did
home.
You?
Oh my god, it blew my mind. I mean, it was so nuts.
It's a weird story.
So crazy.
It's crazy.
So many things happen, and it's like, why? Why did so many things happen? Like, again, what is the end game in this?
But this is a real thing.
But
happened.
This was an actual
a real,
story.
Real thing. Real crazy
it
people.
Is, and it is produced by the Duplass brothers.
Oh, that's right.
So. Little horror connection
little
there,
tie-in.
But since we also love true crime, I would be remiss if I didn't mention that was totally worth checking
Evil
out.
Evil Genius, that's on Netflix.
Yes,
it's just
four episodes, I
just
think.
Happened.
Yes, within the past couple weeks, maybe,
uh-huh.
Two or three.
Week or two,
oh,
yeah.
Wow, okay, even sooner.
Yeah, very recent.
Yeah, because Netflix emails me whenever some kind of murder-related thing.
Ditto,
yeah.
Ditto.
Mm-hmm. We think you might like this.
Like, you are right, Netflix,
like
I will.
You are 100%
will.
Correct.
Yeah.
Well, that one's awesome.
And it's also a really interesting case file episode.
I cannot wait to listen to it. Mm-hmm. Somehow I missed it,
case
and
file.
Now I'm glad that I did. Case file.
So, guys, next time, it's our 100th movie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It looks like we're going to decide this right now on the air. Because, okay, here's the thing. In actuality, we've done like something like 177 episodes, but the only ones we number are the ones where we review a movie,
right.
And I've got at least two of my other co-hosts with me. So that means we don't count the bites, we don't count the interviews, we don't count the commentaries, we don't count the TV recaps.
So just extras, bonuses for mm-hmm. y'all.
We've made so many things.
Yeah, mm-hmm. lots of things in the past 3 odd years.
Yeah.
4? 3.
I don't know
More
anymore.
More than 3.
It's going to be 4 in October.
Yep.
We've made all kinds of episodes, crazy. But our just regular review episodes, we will be on our 100th. So because we only count the ones where we review a movie, I figure we better review a movie instead of just doing like a look back. I'm sure there's going to be some of that. Don't worry. But we figured we would do a classic, and we've got it down to Jaws, which, excuse me, Kitty has never seen. That's crazy. Big Eddie, have you seen Jaws?
Hell yeah.
All right. Just checking. So Jaws, or, which is also Big Jamie's favorite movie.
Yeah.
Or Psycho, which, how many of you guys have seen Psycho?
I've never seen Psycho.
My hand is up in the air.
So only Big Jamie and I have seen Psycho. Big Kitty, Big Eddie, you guys haven't seen it.
That is correct.
I'm going to leave it up to you three of which one you guys want to do.
Jaws.
I don't care.
Kitty?
Yeah, I think it's embarrassing that I haven't seen one of my best friend's favorite movies. So I think we should probably do Jaws.
I mean, I wasn't going to say that you should be embarrassed and shamed about
that. It's fine.
That.
Guilty.
I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. It keeps me up at night.
Well, fret no more, Kitty. So next time, in a couple weeks, for our 100th episode, we are going to be talking about Jaws.
Yes.
Big Jamie's favorite horror movie.
It's just so great.
There's a lot of quotable lines in that one, too.
Yep.
A lot of ones you guys probably know, and Kitty probably also knows, even though she hasn't seen it. Just
and it's
the way
a movie
it goes.
That, like, single-handedly made millions of people terrified to go in the ocean.
Yeah, even though sharks hardly ever attack you.
Even though people kill way more sharks.
So many more
than
sharks
the other way
than
around.
The other way around.
Way more.
Dogs bite so many more people than sharks. We're going to talk about all of this in a couple weeks, and we're very excited to do so.
Yes.
We hope that you will join us for that. It's going to be a big, really big, really big shoe. Really big episode.
Really big shoe.
I want to thank my co-hosts, Big Jamie, Big Eddie, Big Kitty, for joining me. Big Thomas for being our silent partner and a little fluffy ball in the corner. Thank you for not trying to get out the whole time we've been recording like you usually do.
He's been a very good boy.
He's the real MVP. Keep those cards and letters coming. We love to hear your feedback. We are one shy of 50 iTunes reviews.
Oh, who's gonna give us our lucky 50?
I would love to hit 50 before our 100th episode. We'd be halfway there to Eddie getting a tramp stamp of the Bloodlust.
I mean, if that's not
was
reason
it?
Enough.
It was 100 reviews? That's all I made it? We'll have to listen back to tape.
It was 100.
Oh, God, okay. That's fine.
I'm pretty
stamp,
sure.
I mean, to be fair, you didn't say it had to be a big tramp stamp.
No.
But just...
It's gonna have to be a tramp
a noticeable
stamp,
one.
Yeah.
And one it'll have to be slutty.
If your pants come down, they'll see it.
And incorporate dolphins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you have to make it so that if you are wearing a thong, it's not covering up anything
right,
important.
Obviously.
So you have to, like,
obviously.
Make yeah. design it with a thong in mind.
I only wear teabags, so it shouldn't cover up too much.
Okay, perfect. Good. Good. I love that you know what they're called. Okay, guys, it's been a real pleasure. We'll talk to you next time. Watch The Greasy Strangler, unless you generally back Karen's opinions. And until next time, I've been Amy.
Big Jamie.
Karen.
Big Eddie.
Oh, you guys are all hootie tootie disco cuties.
Yeah. Hootie tootie disco cutie.
Hootie tootie disco cutie. Hootie tootie disco cutie. Hootie tootie disco cutie. Kitty's like, I hate you guys.
I hate you. You're making me relive it again.
I hate you all. Oh, man.